I really haven't preached out of the prophets very often, and I really haven't read the prophets as much as I should. But I begin this week to begin to read Ezekiel, and I started in reading Ezekiel, and Ezekiel talks about four living creatures and so much about the throne room, and there's so much stuff going on. I wanted to talk about the temple. And so in Ezekiel 8, I'm going to read the whole chapter, so bear with me. Take your time, Lance, just listen to some of this that Ezekiel writes. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. How many would love the hand of the Lord to fall upon you in your house? Huh? Sitting around the elders? Sitting around your family and the hand of the Lord comes in? What would that be like? Verse 2, then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his waist and downward fire. And from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber, like a burning fire. Man, that would be so neat to see in your own home. Verse 3, he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of the jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, the north of the altar gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Verse 8, then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abomination which they are doing there. So I went in and I saw. And there, every sort of creeping thing, abomination, beast, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jehazanah, the son of Shephan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. Verse 14, so he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to the dismay women were sitting there weeping for the Temes. Then he said to me, have you seen this? O son of man, turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, I guarantee you there's a message right there, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is this a travail thing to the house of Judah to commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose, Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I may not hear them. It starts out with a great vision of the Lord as he comes in. I'm going to go somewhere today that we've probably been, but we haven't been. Some places that are maybe be uncomfortable for you today. Are you ready? Places we might not want to reach. Places maybe where you might not want to go. The reason I begin to bring this message out, and we're finishing up a book. I think Tabby has it in her purse. It's a deliverance book. Okay, so I just need one. It's The Secrets to Deliverance, Alexander Pernani. So we've been doing this book for the last 7 weeks. Some other stuff, some other things going on, and some things that were taught maybe 2 or 3 years ago that was just a little bit off of where they really needed to be. And as I begin to finish this book up this week, I was in chapter 9, and finishing up the book, it talked about some things, places maybe demons or oppression can be in your life. And it talked about knees, and my knee has been bothering me for 2 months. So I'm reading this book, and it's like, here's a prayer to pray over your knee. I haven't done anything wrong. I have not in sin or anything like that, okay? Just to let you know, I hurt my knee, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it hurt. I never heard a pop. I never heard anything. I was doing squats with 10-pound, 15-pound weights in each hand. You know, it never hurt. It didn't hurt the moment I did it, you know. The next day, I wake up, and my knee's messed up. What's settled in my knee? So they tell me I got a torn meniscus, a radial tear in my meniscus. I don't know. Really tight, can't bend it, can't shift the motorcycle, can't do any of that. So I got to use you got a front shifter and a back shifter, and Dad's like, don't never use that back shifter. Well, I'm using the back shifter. Real easy. Anyway, so what brings this message about is I'm sitting in my normal time in the morning from 4:45 to 5:30, and I'm reading this book, and I'm reading this, and it comes to knee. If you have a problem with your knee, so I pray this little small prayer. I go to work that morning. I go to work, and my knee is like there's nothing wrong with it. Like, where did the pain go? If you climb steps, I could feel the pain. Where did the pain go? I didn't feel nothing leave. I didn't feel nothing change. All I know is when I went to work, I could cross my legs again. I could do things I couldn't do earlier that my knee would hurt. It's like, what happened? And so I don't know what it was, but I don't want what I did do. I said a prayer, and I allowed God to come in. And it's like, I want to pray. I could get on my knees and pray and not hurt. The enemy does not want you to be on your knees. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want me to pray into things, into this, bring his kingdom into the earth. And so if I can't get on my knees, I can't get humble before the Lord. And so I pray. He wants to avoid me from praying. He wants me to avoid me. And ever since I prayed about 2 months ago, it's been about 2 or 3 months ago, we began to pray and come against the demonic realm in this territory. We come against the territorial spirits over our city. We begin to, and all of a sudden, I begin to feel things begin to shift in the atmosphere. Even there was oppression coming on. There was something coming against us as a church, something coming against me as well. And I break that off in Jesus' name. There is no demonic spirit going to hold us down. There's no demonic spirit going to hold you down. You just got to acknowledge and move on. So how many rooms do you think the temple of Solomon had? Rooms. Yeah. 90. Do you ever think about the Temple of Solomon? Do we ever think about it? The Temple of Solomon. It had 90 rooms. You had the porch, right? The porch and the altar. You came in through this place, the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies. This was the main part of the temple, but on the outside of the temple there were rooms and cupboards and storage places all around the temple. The Bible tells us that our body is the temple of God. How many rooms do you think we have in our body? If we're the temple and God's power and presence rested in the temple, and now what is this in Ezekiel chapter 10, it says the presence of God left, the Shekinah glory left the temple, and it has never returned to a temple, a physical temple. But what he has done, he has rested inside of you. His presence has rested inside of you. His Shekinah glory has rested inside of you. 1 Kings 6, 1 through 8. So I want you to understand that there's many rooms in the Solomon's temple. All right? There's many rooms in Solomon's temple. Here it is. And it says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt. Listen to that, 480th year. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Who had the plans to build the house of the Lord? David. David wasn't allowed to build the house of the Lord. Why? Very true. So Solomon's son gets to build the temple. And so it says, which is the second month. Then he began to build the house of the Lord. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width 20. So that's like, I think it's like 90 by 30 or something like that. That's what it is. Feet. The vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width, and the house and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits. From the front of the house, he made for the house windows with beveled frames. Against the wall of the temple, he built chambers all around. Here, listen now. He built chambers all around against the walls of the temple, all around the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. Thus, he made side chambers all around it. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, and the middle was 6 cubits wide, and a third was 7 cubits wide. For he made narrow ledges around the outside of the temple so that the support beam would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quary. So that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was on the right side of the temple. They went up by the stairs in the middle story from the middle to the third. So, how many, do you believe that there was a lot of rooms, more than just three, right? The tabernacle of Moses had this tent, right? It had a wall around it. There was no storage around that. There was the outer court, the inner court, and Holy of Holies. That's the way you went in. But when David designed the temple for Solomon, this is how God asked him to design it. Place, you got your outer court, the Holy of Holies, outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies, and then place these cubicles or these rooms all around. You know how many years it was from 1 Kings 6 to Ezekiel 8? About 430, 440 years. You know how many years it was from Malachi to Jesus' death? 430 years. There's a lot of stuff that happens about 430 years. 440 years. God is a God that does things. He's like set in stone when he does things. The number four is like a door. It's a door. Number 40 is like the finalization of something. Like after 40 years they were in the wilderness, then they came into the promised land. Right? It's a changing of things. It's a changing of things. Yeah, there was like 30 rooms on each level. There's three levels of the tabernacle. There was like 30 rooms on each level. You could not access them through the porch, to the inner or the outer court and the inner court. You could not access them through that way. You had to access them through another avenue. And so why I'm saying all this stuff? The priests were performing the things of God. They were performing sacrifices. They were burning incense in the Holy of Holies. They were doing all this stuff. And the presence of God was in the room. He was on the sanctuary in chapter 8. 430 years, or you could say 14 to 22 generations. That's a father, that's a son, that's a grandson, that's a great-grandson. You know, it's about 22 years that they would start to have kids. That's, you know, 22, 24 years old, your son begins to have kids, and then he grows to about 22, 24 years old, and then they begin to have kids, and these generations go on. So 14 to 22 generations from the time that the temple was built, there was corruption and sin inside the temple of God. Inside the temple of God. I'm going to drink some blue water, oxygenated water. I'll tell you what, I was going to talk about this, and I got a testimony from Darlene we want to talk about too today. But I kind of got out of my head today. But there's miracles going on down in Alabama where he's taking over this water plant. It's called Blue Water, and this is the oxygenated version. But there was some people came down. He was telling me this morning that people came down and began to pray around the water, and the water began to ripple. It's inside a barn. There is no air. There is no wind. There is no air or wind, and the water was rippling. He goes back about two or three days later, and the water is still rippling. It's been calm all along, but people begin to pray, praying in the spirit around the well. God is beginning to move. Lester Summerall said, watch the water. In the end times, watch the water. The water is a point of what God is doing. Beside that point, I just wanted to make that note. There's some miracles happening down in Alabama, and it's also going to be moving all across United States. Even in Dawsonville, miracles are happening in the water, and that's what we've been seeing the last 8 years. We're drinking the oxygenated version today. We get that on Wabash, but I think Graham Grain's selling it now, right? Graham Grain has it on First Street. So, there's all kinds of rooms in the temple. God's presence is in the temple. Now, we have this problem. We have this problem that people believe, we as included, that you cannot have a demonic presence or oppression if the Holy Spirit is upon you. Okay. This is going to be tough. We've heard some of this before. But if there is 90 rooms in the tabernacle of Solomon, and now we are called the temple of God, how many rooms do you think you have? Do you think we represent the temple? Where does God dwell? In a place called the Holy of Holies in your life, in your spirit, right? The Spirit of God dwells there. Let me just go a little further. Proverbs 20, 27 says this. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. I wonder how many depths there are. This is Solomon again, right? Proverbs 12, 17 through 19 says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. You ever have somebody speak against you? Talk about you? What's that feel like? Do you like it when they talk about you? Probably not. Most of the time it's not good. It says, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Do you speak life from your tongue? Do you speak life about people? The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty truffles. Truffles. And they go down into the innermost body. Where do we store those things that when we hear, oh, did you hear that, Tabitha? Did you hear that about that person? Did you hear that about Sonny? Let me tell you about Sonny. Let me tell you about Sean. Let me tell you about Alexa. Tailbearers. People love to listen. How can I pray for you? Man, you know, did you know Joanne over there is needing prayer? She's got this going on in her life. Right? And our ears perk up. Where does that stuff go? Does it just go in and leave? How about when a husband begins to talk about his wife and he begins to condemn her and say words that he should not say, or a wife puts her husband down and not respects her, or where does that go in a person's body? Where does that go in a person's soul? Where does that go in their life? Do we store it up? We bind it up, and we it just settles in our spirit, and it's like one day. It doesn't run out like water. It doesn't come in and just leave. It comes in and it stays in until it's released and given away. Les was talking about he had to go clean out some decorations and stuff this morning. He was talking about he had to go clean a place out and they were getting rid of all the stuff. How much stuff do you collect in your home? How many tight cubby holes do you have stored away? Things you'll never use. Things that you've gathered and kept and you keep on and you bring in. How many of those things that you'll never use, you've never seen in the last 5 years, that you've never touched in 5 years? Do you think our life is like that? Do you think that what comes into our life, do you think what we hear and we see, the Bible tells us that these are ear gates. What we hear, they got to come in. It comes in. I don't see where it goes out. The things that we see with our eyes, I see it come in, but I don't see it go out. How do we get rid of those things? Where do they get stored at in our life, in our body, in our spirit? Proverbs 24:3-4 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. This is talking about your body. But when a room is built, as we read in Ezekiel 8, there is an abomination going on in the temple. There's things going on in the temple of God. The presence of God is in the room. His Shekinah glory is resting on the temple in the Holy of Holies. And just through the walls, about this deep, on each side and surrounding the Holy of Holies, there is cubby holes in the temple of God that are storing abominable things. Priests, when they're not functioning in their duties, are in these rooms doing detestable things in the temple of God. Think about that. He tells Ezekiel to look through the hole and start to dig. He sees a room and he opens the door and he sees these priests worshiping other gods. Paintings on the wall of the temple of God. Paintings on the wall of detestable things. We don't know all of what was going on in the temple, but it was detestable. That means if the temple of Solomon kind of represent our body or this temple of God, that I can have the Holy Spirit living within me and I can have demonic oppression in my life. How many things do you store? How many things have you heard? How many things have you looked at that's still placed there? We overlook them because we don't see them. We overlook them because we have a thought and then it goes away. How many things have I said about Tabitha when I was younger that I should have never said? How many things has she stored away in those small cubby holes of her heart? How do you get rid of those things? How many are dealing with chronic things in their body? Anybody dealing with chronic things in their body like knee aches, AI or RA, just different stuff? It could be shoulders, knees, eyes. It could be anything. Chronic things that come that you don't know where they came from. It just all of a sudden showed up. What could it be? It could be health. It could be that you ran marathon after marathon after marathon after marathon and you wore your legs out. But maybe you didn't run marathons and your knees begin to give out. Why? Why would that happen? I don't know. I don't know why my knee quit hurting whenever I prayed a prayer. Why did my knee start to activate that way? I don't know. But I prayed a prayer and it left. When you walk into the porch of the tabernacle, and I'm going to do some studying on it. We're going to do a message on it because I think there is a lot there. There's the two pillars of the porch, and there's so much there. And as you come into the place, you walk through that vestibule, and you come into the outer sanctuary, and there's the altars there, and there's a place of sacrifice. There's a place that you come, and we've all been there. Everybody in here saved, right? Everybody has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit lives within their heart. You got Him moving in your life. But how many hidden things are you hiding? How many things are actually hidden from when you was 30, 40 years old? How many things have you placed in a box or placed in a cubbyhole that is still there? That you haven't emptied that room. You forgot all about that room. We do it today. We know our houses are full of stuff we haven't seen for years. But we've all walked through the porch. We've all walked to that inner place, that altar, and we laid our life down before the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of those things. He forgives them all. All that you acknowledge. Listen to me. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. What happens when you confess your sins one to another? You're forgiven. The Bible says that we have the power to forgive sin. I have the power to forgive your sins, right? It comes from Christ. We have the power to forgive a person because we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. It's not by our forgiveness, it's by what Jesus did on the cross. But how many times have we came to Christ, and all of us have came to Christ, how many things have we not said, God, I have missed it here, and I'm pulling out this box where I messed up. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying none of this stuff. I'm saying some of us might be dealing with things that we don't need to be dealing with because we've got junk in the trunk. Is there a song like that? I don't know. There probably should be. The priest thought it was okay. Listen to me. The priest thought it was okay. They're going in and performing the duties of the priest. 430 years, all right, from when it started, I guarantee the temple was pure. It was good. Those first 10 years, 15 years, I imagine, we don't know. We don't know where corruption began to settle in. We don't know where corruption began to settle in your life. I don't know where corruption settled into my life. That's why we should die daily to our life. We should die daily to our own ambitions. Die daily to our wants and desires and let God's desires move through us. We're supposed to watch what we see. Stop listening to things we shouldn't listen to. Touch things we shouldn't touch. And not allow those doors to open up in our life. But the priests thought it was okay. I mean, the priests thought it was okay to serve in the temple and walk right around to the other place to get into those cubby holes and do detestable things. They thought it was okay. God can't see me there. God's in that room and not in this room. How many pastors and leaders have we seen fall in the last year or two? How many people are you going to see fall in the next coming years? It's because they're allowing those rooms. They're doing things because they think it's okay to preach in the pulpit and do the things they should not be doing. They want to act like the priest in this temple, but then on the outside of the temple, they want to act like the world. Because I need to have a little drink. I need to have a little of this. I need to have a little of that. I need to be doing what they're doing. How can that be? How can that be? God says, hey, and here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand, Sonny, is why did God allow it to go that long? Why did he allow it to go that long? Did he give him time? Did he give him time to say, come on, guys, come on and repent? And he gave him time, and they still wouldn't do it. And in 440 years, 430 years, whatever it was, he said, I've had enough. I'm done. I got a prophet, I got a man of God down there that's going to hear. And it says that he took him by the hair and pulled him up between heaven and earth. I'm sorry. Is there someone here that God can use to bring correction to the churches? To bring correction to his body of believers? Is there someone here that is willing to go through that pressure and presence of the Lord? Is there someone here? The priests thought they were out of the sight of God. How many people, when they do things, think they're out of the sight of God? God can't see me here in the woods. God can't see me in my basement. God can't see me at work. I can act like, talk like the rest of the people. God can't see me. Only when I come into the sanctuary will God see me. It's a lie from hell. It's a lie from the enemy. I'm telling you right now, it's a lie from the enemy. He sees every move you make. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows everything that you're dealing with. He's walked through them. I wrote this down. It says, Satan or the power of sin have no access to a newborn believer. Listen to me. He has no access to a newborn born again believer. He has no access to that. He has no access to this place where you said, Lord, come into my life. None. He cannot go there. He cannot get into the Holy of Holies. He cannot go there. Those detestable items that were stored or in these cubby holes of the tabernacle could not come in to the temple. Could not come into the Holy of Holies. It could not walk through the vestibule and to the porch and the altar. It could not come in through that way. There was one way in and there was one way out. There was no other way. And it could not come into that direction. The Satan and his sin cannot come into that place of the altar or the Holy of Holies. It cannot come here. But he can attack your life. He can attack your knee. He can attack your shoulder. He can attack your life. But he cannot have access to your salvation. He cannot have access to your salvation. You hear me? Because he can't have access to our salvation, we allow ourselves to do things we shouldn't do. Because it's a lie from hell. It's a lie from Satan. So what are you hiding? What are you hiding today? I don't know. You know those rooms. You know those cubby holes. You know those places. So today I want to do something different. This is just this is less like a base message of letting you know that there's things going on in your life and in the temple of God. There's a temple. There's things going on in all of us. Have I found every box that I did when I was a kid? No, I haven't found every box yet. I know I'm saved and sanctified and delivered by the Holy Spirit. I am a newborn believer in Christ, and I am preaching the gospel like he asked me to preach. I am doing what he asked me to do. But there's things in my life when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 20, 22, 23. There's things in my life. I hope I remember to get rid of those things. I hope I confess those things before the Lord. And that's what I'm doing. It says, die daily. Take up your cross daily. Show yourself to prove. Don't just leave those things buried. Here's the thing. When we store all these things up in our temple, right? We can do this in our homes. And these boxes and these boxes full of decorations, these boxes full of stuff, or whatever it is that you store away that you might use someday. When you pass on, somebody else has to clean it up. Listen to me. That's your home. That's your physical home you stay in. But this temple, the one that sits in here, these compartments that you filled, no one's cleaning them up. Nobody's cleaning them up. There's not someone coming along and said, oh, let me pull that addiction out of your life. Let me pull that pornography out of your life. Let me pull that hatred out of your life. Let me pull that jealousy out of your life. You're already gone. You already passed on. You ain't getting rid of that stuff. Here's the thing. You might store all this stuff in your physical home and someone else, your sons and daughters, grandkids are going to take all that stuff and get a dumpster and... Well, some people might not. They might be hoarders, and they just take it all again. And they hoard it into another house. Listen to me. This is very important. This is very important for your life. No one's going to clean your mess up but you. There's no one else in this room going to clean your mess up. Your sons, your daughters, your grandkids are not going to clean your mess up. What you have stored in these outer, inner parts, you know what they were used for? You know what they were intended for? They were intended for the things of the temple.
the articles of the temple, to store away the things that they used to serve the Lord.
Are you storing those things away? Are you pulling those boxes out of prophecy? Are you pulling those healing anointings out? Are you pulling those gifts of healing and deliverance? Are you pulling those out of your life and giving them to someone else? Are you using those things as the temple of God was intended to? It also stored the things that Israel brought in from wars and battles, and it showed God's provision. It showed the people from generation after generation after generation, looky here what God did for us. Looky here what God did for me. Look at the testimonies that come from your life. Are you storing testimonies up in those cubby holes of the temple of God? Are you storing them up? I know people that write, they love to write and journal, and they write these things down, and this is what God has done. This is what God has done. This is what God done on January 13th. He saved my life. Or this is what God done on May 25th. This is what God done. And then now your kids and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren can read and say, oh, looky here what God has done. God, do it again in my life. Do it again, do it again, and do it again. That's what those rooms were for the use of the tabernacle of God, for the use of telling how good God is. That's what they were for. Our temple of God, the temple that we indwell, the Holy Spirit indwells in this temple before the Shekinah glory is radiant in our lives. The testimonies that I share, the things that God does, we share with the people around us, and it will change their life. When the world does not know God, the world does not know God, and I'm telling you, there's people in the church that don't know God. They've never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. They've never had an encounter with the living God. They've never had a supernatural encounter with Him. And these people only know what the pastor is preaching. They've never experienced it. Why is that? Because most people have stored and those rooms are full of junk. They can't contain any testimonies because they can't see any testimonies. They can't store them anywhere. And so I'm saying is you got to get some testimonies in your life. You got to get before the Lord and you got to pray and seek His face. We go out and pray for the sick. And I've seen God do wonders. I've seen Him do wonders. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen tumors dissolve in instants. I've told you that before. There's a guy at work. He was waiting for me to come up. This has been 15 years ago. And I gave him Bosworth's book. I can't remember his first name. Bosworth, remember we read that book for F.F. Bosworth. It's a healing book. It's a good book. And I would just read it from class. So it was been back in 2007, 2008, after we read that, maybe 2009. I'd read that book and read it again. And I gave the boy the book, and he opened it up, and he read it one night, and he was getting ready to go have an MRI because he had a mass on the back of his brain right here. He was working up on the third floor at Ambleset, and I felt the Lord. I was new walking with the Lord, okay? So I was new, but I understand God wanted to use me in ways. And so I waited till it was like 5:30 in the morning. It was on a hoot-out shift. It was 5:30 in the morning, and I walked upstairs, and I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you. He said, I've been waiting for you. He said, I got an MRI in the morning. I said, I know. And so we prayed for him. Short prayer. Father God, just begin to heal. Dissolve that tumor right now in Jesus' name. He goes for his MRI the next day. There was nothing there. Completely gone. He came back and he was excited. Did it change his life? No. It didn't. It did for a moment. For a moment. The world wants to see miracles. I don't know if it'll change their life. I don't know. What I know is I need to have testimonies stored up in my temple. I need to be able to share the goodness of the Lord. I watched the North Georgia revival, and this
What God is doing there is an amazing thing. And they're storing up record after record, recording after recording of testimonies that God has done in the water. Amazing. Blind eyes, deaf ears. People can't eat certain things because of their body, and all of a sudden they can eat whatever they want. Their gluten issues, and they can go eat pizza. They go out and do all kinds of stuff. And marriages are being restored, and all this stuff. I mean, blind eyes completely restored. Addiction, cancer. And they're marking these down. And they're storing them up. And they're sharing them with the world. But the world's not listening. The world's not listening. And I'm closing here. I'm going to be done here in just a moment. For 8 years, all the revival, all the stuff that's going on down there in Dawsonville, Georgia. When we were down there, I always stop in at some place and I say, "Hey, you know about the North Georgia revival? Have you ever heard about it?" People that live there. "What are you talking about?" I said, "You didn't know God is healing blind eyes and deaf ears? You didn't know that cancer is being dissolved? You didn't know that blood disease is being restored? You didn't know that?" But the world doesn't care. So I'm telling you today, there's things in your temple. You can worship God with everything you have, and the glory of the Lord still settles here. But what he wants is, he wants you to get rid of those things that you've held on to, that's in those courts, or those places in your life. So I close today, and I want to do this. I want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for today. If you're dealing with any type of issue, I don't care if it's blood, arms, shoulders, legs, knees, mind, I don't care. We're going to pray for you today. And there's prayers in this book. They're short. And it's pretty simple. Here's one that I prayed. I have to put my glasses on to see it. Too small. That's my next thing. God, heal my eyes. Heal my eyes. It says, this is what I prayed the other night, if I can find it. The knees. "I command my knees and legs to be in perfect health. Now in the name of Jesus, I order every demon causing knee problems to leave my body now in Jesus' name. All demons causing my knees discomfort, so I won't pray, I order you to come out now in the Holy Spirit power. Let the same power that allowed Jesus to pray on his knees and to walk tirelessly of preaching the kingdom be upon me now in Jesus' name. Amen." And that's what I prayed. And I go to work and my knee is not bothering me at all. I mean, I can do whatever you want to do. Jump, run, whatever. That's all I did. Now, God can move anyway. So I just want to give you an opportunity. I'm gonna bring up Steve, Sean, for now. If you want prayer, we're gonna give you an opportunity. If you put some music on for me, please. You may come up here. You have to use a microphone. Test. Everybody knows your voice, Melvin.
Okay, so on